Good morning. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord through song. Singing out, "And Can It Be?" Let's worship the Lord together this morning.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me, move on His shame, or He who Him to death pursued?
Thank you for joining us for worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Community groups continue tonight. If you are not yet connected with a Sunday p.m. community group, you can visit fbcwixom.org/communitygroups for more information. Community groups meet on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Our annual business meeting is planned for today after the morning worship. Please plan to celebrate another year of God's blessing with us. We will be voting primarily on the new budget and deacons for the coming year. Afterwards, we will have a special time of dedication and prayer as we enjoy some treats and unveil the new four-year addition. In just a few minutes, we'll be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you would like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. This morning, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to be talking about right relationships in a diverse church. It's such a blessing for us to have an incredible diversity of ages. The nursery full of little babies all the way up to our older saints and everything in between. Now, this morning, as we get started, I just want to encourage parents with something, and this is a little bit of a housekeeping thing, so please understand the grace that I'm going to try to deliver this with and receive it with that kind of grace. We've received a couple complaints from people during worship services about young people not sitting with their parents and not paying attention and not helping with the worship experience. And so, parents, we're asking you, if your kids are under the age of 18, to please have them sit with you and encourage them to participate in the service and not make unnecessary noises, eating, distracting, playing on their phone, whatever, or badly timed restroom breaks. I'm 50, all right, kids? So if I can make it through the service, you can make it through the service, okay? And those time that the time that our brain thinks it's time for a restroom break is usually one of the most important times of the service. And so we would just encourage parents to maybe help prepare, remind them before the service, hey, now would be a great time for a restroom break instead of right in the middle of the preaching. And it'll just help all of us worship better. So I know that you'll receive that with grace and understanding, but I appreciate your help in that area. Speaking of kids, second announcement about children, junior church kids that are leaving today for junior church, they're going to be coming back in at the closing song and participating in the business meeting and the prayer of dedication for the addition later today. And so during that closing song, parents, if you can be watching the back doors, speaking of, Johnny's going to be bringing the kids into the auditorium during that final time. Okay, let's have a word of prayer as we get started and find out what's going on in the back hallway. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. We ask for your name to be glorified. We ask for your people to be strengthened. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to focus our minds and our attention on your truth today. We love you. Thank you for all you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was going to say, we're going to drown out that sound with music, and if I see flames in the back, I'll let you know. We can go out this way, right? Let's stand together, continue to worship this morning as we sing out, Precious Lamb of Glory.
Worship the Lamb of Glory.
we who know Christ as our Savior will get to worship Him for all eternity. But the blessing and privilege that we have is that we get to do it right here and now. So I want you to join me as we continue to worship the precious Lamb. Worship Him for who He is. Worthy is the Lamb. Let's sing this out together.
Thank You for the cross, Lord. Thank You for the price You paid. Bearing all my sins and shame, in love You came and gave amazing grace. Thank You for this love, Lord. Thank You for the and Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness hides my Savior's face, I rest on His unchanging grace. When faith is weak and doubt is strong, I still lift up
my hope is true. Great song, powerful truth that our hope is found in Jesus Christ. I'll invite you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy and chapter number 5. Hope you were thinking about this passage this week and thinking about what the Lord has for our church family today as we explore what Paul said to Timothy the church needs to hear. There are certain truths, Timothy, that the church needs to be reminded of, that the brethren need to be put in remembrance of. Certain truths that must be commanded and taught. A lot of explicit truths that he explains flow out of the gospel. He spends the entire first chapter in this letter of 1 Timothy talking about faith and how important it is to have a foundation of faith, because if the foundation is right, everything else flows from our faith. In the Old Testament, we read this phrase, the just shall live by faith. And twice in the New Testament, it's quoted, the just shall live by faith. When your faith is in Christ, you will live by faith. The gospel is not just for salvation. The gospel is for life. And the gospel of Jesus affects how we pray, and it affects our view of lost people. It affects how we view the roles of men and women in the church. It affects our expectations for spiritual leaders. It affects our view of service in the church and our personal behavior in the church. It keeps us away from apostasy, and it motivates us to exercise our faith, always trying to stay healthy spiritually, always trying to get stronger spiritually. Last week, on Father's Day, we looked at Paul's example of raising up the next generation of leaders in their faith. And I reminded you that I think as a church we should be encouraging future leaders that they're not too young to be effective, that they should value quality biblical preaching, that they should recognize and exercise their giftedness. We must encourage future leaders to give themselves to spiritual disciplines and to pay attention, to be vigilant, and to persevere in their faith. I hope that you thought about some of those truths this last week. As I was watching the kids of our daycare and interacting with the kids of our church, I was just thinking about the profound responsibility that our generation has, my generation has, to help these young people develop into the leaders that the church needs for tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow's difficult, right? I mean, our world is not getting any closer to Jesus. It is moving farther and farther away from truth. The church is going to need strong leaders, and they're sitting in junior church and they're sitting in our seats, and our responsibility is to help prepare them for leadership. Today we want to talk about right relationships in a diverse church. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is going to be a short message because of all the things that we're doing today, but it's a long passage. So would you give your attention to the Word of God this morning as we read 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, maybe grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety or their godliness at home and to requite or repay their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusting in God and continuing in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or unbeliever. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Father, as we come to your word, please help us to understand it correctly. Lord, we feel an urgency this morning to know your truth and understand it and apply it correctly. Would you please help us to really engage with Scripture today? Would you help us to personally apply these truths and make them practical in the way that we interact with one another? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, it's a blessing to be a part of a church with a diversity of ages and a diversity of backgrounds, new people, longtime members, brand new believers, older folks, babies, everything in between. One of the biblical metaphors for the church is a family. And all of us, as part of a family, we understand that family relationships can be complex. Are you with me? They can be a little bit complex. Just think about the metaphor of the family for the church for just a second. Some of our relationships are really complex. There's just so many pieces and there's so many connections. Let me just suggest a few. Maybe there's a group of people in our church that you attend community group with, and you get a little more honest and a little more personal about the application of Scripture. And then you also fellowship and enjoy some food together, maybe some activities together. But that's a group in which you're developing relationships. Some of you also have a Sunday school class. And in that Sunday school class on Sunday mornings at 9:45, you have a group of people that you interact with, maybe only in Sunday school, but it's a connection point for you. Some of us participate in activities, and maybe you were part of the Amore Schmores activity and you interacted there, or maybe you come to adult volleyball or basketball or young adult activities or whatever, and you're starting to form connections through activities. Some of you are serving with other people. The lawn crew is a whole group of guys, and I think ladies now this year, who are serving together and developing relationships as they work together. The security team, the deacons, the kitchen crew for funeral meals, etc. These are groups that are learning to know each other through service. How about Wednesday nights? Wednesday nights, about 30 of us adults gather in here for prayer. One of the most special relationships in the church are people that you pray with. And most of us have some favorites, right, that we just keep going to those three or four and just really spending time entering the throne room of God and bringing our prayer requests. And so there's some relationships. Worshiping, most of you sit in the same-ish spot. Now, some of you are a little creative and brave, and you move around the auditorium and meet new people, but most of us stay in the same spot, meaning we get to know the people sitting around us maybe a little bit better. How about discipleship groups? These can really form really close relationships as you're meeting one-on-one to talk about your faith. Marriage mentoring can be a connection for couples. Different committees that form from time to time for certain things. All of these are ways that the church connects. Now, I've described before to people the complexity of one of my relationships in the church, where it's an employee-employer kind of relationship. It's also a close friend kind of relationship. It's also our kids are really close friends kind of relationship. It's also a deacon-pastor relationship. There's just all of these nuances to one single relationship. And maybe you can think of some relationships like that for you in the church. You should feel close to the family of God. If what I was just describing for the last 3 minutes didn't make any sense to you, that's not how it's supposed to be, okay? You're supposed to feel like, oh yeah, wow, I do have a live, like a built-in group of a couple hundred friends here. And some of them are closer than others because of how we connect with one another. But what Paul reminds Timothy this morning is that the church might forget how to properly interact with each other. How do you properly interact? I remember one time when I was a kid, maybe 10 years of age, I got it in my head that it would be cool to come up with a nickname for my dad and use it like over and over and over. I thought it would be cool. You know, I thought we were friends. I thought he'd be cool with it. And I will never forget, we were riding along in our really cool 60s conversion van at the time. And Dad turned and corrected me, and he said, he looked right at me and he goes, "I am not your brother." Boy, did I hear that loud and clear. Because I had brothers, you know, I had three brothers. It's totally cool to come up with nicknames for your brothers, okay? And do that over and over and over again until they blow their lid, okay? But not cool with your dad. It's a totally different relationship. In fact, that little game lasted for like, I don't know, 10 minutes before Dad put a kibosh on it, right? It was over. There's a right way and a wrong way to interact with your dad. Scripture tells us what it is. Obey and honor. That's it. I was off base in my relationship, and sometimes in the church we get off base in how we interact with one another. So this morning, you'll have to think just a little bit harder. It's a simple message, but you got to think a little bit harder because Paul was talking specifically to Timothy, who was a young man. If you're not a young man, you have to adjust his commands, okay? So you have to tweak them biblically, tweak these commands if you're not a young man. You have to think a little bit about it from Timothy's perspective. All right, real quick, let's talk about different demographics in the church and our relationship to them. Number one, be respectful with older men. Be respectful with older men. You say, wait a minute, Brad, this says elder. I think it's talking about like spiritual leaders. In this context, it is clearly not talking about spiritual leaders. It's talking about older men because it later on talks about older women and younger men and younger women. Be respectful with older men. This is a principle that we find all throughout Scripture. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 19, God commanded the children of Israel this way. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray-haired man. You shall rise up and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. In the school in which I was raised, very traditional school, if any male staff member walked into the room, the entire class stood at attention for this purpose, to remind the young people that we honor and we respect the older men. In the household of God, our interactions with older men are marked by honor and respect. In this context, it's any man who is older than you. Treat them with honor like you would your father. I reminded you of the Ten Commandments, right? Honor thy father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise. God said it will be well with you if you obey this command. Honor your father and your mother. In fact, one chapter later in Exodus chapter 21, listen to how important this is to God. And he that curses his father or curses his mother shall surely be put to death. This is what God said to the children of Israel. You don't mess with honoring older people, particularly your parents. And so here it says, entreat an older man as your father. So treat him with honor. By the way, older men, this does not give you a pass to live in sin, have a bad attitude, demand respect from everybody. The church is not a place for grumpy old men. Old guys, can I get an amen from you? Amen, boy. Right? The church is not a place for grumpy old men. A church is the place for men who their lifestyle earns respect, and all of the younger people look at them and say, that is a man that should be listened to. Honor. Like you would treat your father. Be respectful with older men. Number two, be humble with other men. Be humble. He says here, treat them as your brother. Not your rival. Not your competition. Your brother. There's no sibling rivalry in the family of God. Our relationship with peers and younger are marked by brotherly love. I love this part about church. I love it. I love this part about serving together when you're there together with your brothers. Ladies, you know what I mean too. When you're together with the ladies and you're doing a ladies activity, you're having a shower or you're doing some kind of service project together and you're just there with your people. I love being with my Christian brothers. Here's what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3. We know that we've passed from death unto life, or we're saved, we're part of the family of God, when we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. We love the brethren. We treat them with humility and love. Now here, just a word of explanation, at FBC, Wixom, we do not use the terms brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so as much as it happens in other places. And it's right to do that. We don't tend to do that. I don't tend to do that. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses have kind of hijacked that. Okay, so it sounds a little cultish. All right, when we always refer to one another as brother and sister. But can I just tell you that referring or thinking of your peers and younger men in this way is definitely scriptural. It's definite. We're brothers, like brothers in arms. We've got each other's back. We're going to protect. We're going to love. We're going to show kindness to one another, our brothers in Christ. So number one, respectful with older men, humble with other men. Thirdly, gentle with older women. He says in verse 2, the elder women as mothers. Again, how would you treat your mother? How should you treat your mother? Gentleness, I think, is a good word. Paul gives a good example of this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I don't know if you remember what's going on in this passage, but there's these two women, Euodias and Syntyche, and they are fighting. You know what I'm saying? And everybody in the church knows it. In fact, when Paul wrote this, everybody knew it, right? They were fighting. And he could have easily cut them down. He could have easily disrespected them. He could have easily been sarcastic with them. But what did he say to them? Be of the same mind in the Lord. That's all I need to tell you, right? He was gentle. He didn't yell at them. He didn't disrespect them. He just asked them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Our relationships with older women in the church should be marked by gentleness. Respect with older men, humbleness with other men, gentleness with older women. Fourthly, purity with other women. Purity with other women. The Old Testament is loaded with warnings about this. By the way, the people of God have always done two things specifically with younger women. Okay, can I give them to you real quick? Two things specifically. This is all throughout the Old Testament. Number one, God's people protected younger women. They protected them. They shielded them. They formed a wall around the young women. But secondly, they were careful. The older men who were required to lead God's people were commanded over and over and over to be cautious around younger women. They're to treat them as sisters. What do honorable men do for their sister? Well, they stand up for them. They watch out for them. They protect them. And they avoid an unhealthy relationship. For sake of time today, I just want to point your attention to Proverbs 6 and 7. Dads, this would be a great couple of chapters to spend some time with your son in. Proverbs 6 and 7. If you just go through Proverbs 6 and 7 and try to pick out the big ideas, I'm going to give you a cheat sheet and help you get started, okay? Here are the big ideas in Proverbs chapter 6 and 7. Men need to avoid the flattery of women. That's a good principle, isn't it? Avoid the flattery of women. Number two, they need to avoid lustful thinking about women. Number three, they need to avoid women with provocative looks or dress. Number four, they need to avoid rendezvous with women. Number five, I think, avoid touching a woman. And number six, avoid being in a house alone with a woman. Those are pretty good principles, aren't they? They're pretty practical. They're right out of Proverbs 6 and 7. I'd encourage you to do a study on that. It would help you. Be respectful with older men, humble with other men, gentle with older women, pure with other women, and lastly, generous with widows. Be generous with widows. Now, in our passage this morning, there's actually two types of widows described. There are widows. These are women whose husbands have died. And secondly, widows indeed. widows with no family to care for them and no means of financial support. Now you can imagine, in the first century, this was devastating, a dire situation. A woman could not go out and get honorable employment. There was no governmental programs, no welfare, no social security, no pensions, no life insurance policies. They were in a really difficult spot. Things are somewhat easier for widows today, even true widows with nothing. But the church is responsible to be aware and to think about our widows. And by the way, this term widow does not mean husband has passed away. In the Greek, this term widow means destitute or bereft or robbed is the idea. Something was taken away. It might be your husband's health. It might be his presence. It might be his life. It might be his job. But a woman is destitute because something related to her husband was taken away. The church needs to be prepared to step in and to help and to love and to care and metaphorically put our arms around widows of all ages and just say, look, we will be your family. We're not going anywhere. We will support you and we will love you and we will help you. How do you treat them? Well, I want you to see in verse number 3, and I know it seems like we're never going to get to verse 16, but I promise we will. Verse number 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Honor them. Again, this widows indeed means she has nobody to care for her. No one to take care of her needs and no means of caring for herself. Bereft, destitute. Most widows have family to care for them. Most widows in the U.S. are not truly destitute. Their husband has prepared for his passing, or they can take care of themselves. There's something there, an insurance policy, a home, a bank account, something. But those that are destitute, the church is commanded to intervene. If she is a believer and faithful, look at verse number 5. It's a little hard in what I'm reading to you. Maybe in your modern translation, it's easier to see this. What he's actually describing is the kind of widow that a church should help. One that trusts in God and one that continues in supplication and prayers. A saved widow who is faithful. The church should gather around them. And maybe they don't need financial support. Maybe they just need emotional support. The church is to gather around this kind of woman. What are we to do for them? Well, I mentioned honor. Verse number 3, Jesus actually gives us a great example of this. Remember the Jesus on the cross? He looks down at his mom and his best friend John. Think about what Jesus said. Think about this for just a minute. Jesus knew at this time all of his brethren, all of his actual half-sisters and half-brothers, they were all unbelievers. All of them. And he's worried about Mary. Not only is he dying, but when he rises from the dead, he will be glorified Savior, not son. And so he says to John, John, look after my mom. It's really powerful. I mean, Jesus is dying. He talks to two people. He talks to the thief next to him who deserved to die. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And he talks to John and he says, hey, John, take care of mom when I'm gone. That's how important it is to God that we think about our widows and that we take care of our widows. Honor them. Verse number 16, relieve them. I told you we get to 16. Relieve them. Remember, God greatly cares for widows. We are to care for them as well. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Are you visiting? Are you thinking about the fatherless and the widows? And are we helping them? Maybe not just as a church, but even as individuals. I love this attitude, by the way, in our deacons. We have a school family that has a widow indeed right now. I appreciate our deacons saying, hey, whatever they need, we're going to help. They're not part of our church family, but they're part of the family of God. They're ours. We're going to take care of them. The church is to be generous with true widows. But briefly, what about those who are not destitute, bereft, unable to care for themselves? What are they to do? Well, I want you to see that we're to care for them through their family. These three words, by the way, if you have, as I do, a widowed mom, these three words are really helpful. and important to think about. I'm going to show them to you quickly. They're in verses 4, 8, and 16. There's three words that describe the adult children's relationship with their parents. Number one is to requite or repay. Parents, do you ever think this way? Like, I hope these little buggers grow up someday and repay me for all this. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly the idea. You change their diapers. Requite, right? Repay. You paid their bills. Requite, etc. The idea is that there would be a repayment from children to parents. It is super sad that there are people, even in the church, who think, man, my parents are on their own. Do you know it's been a problem for millennia? Jesus actually condemned this in the Pharisees. They had this little thing going, the Pharisees, where they said, well, if I assign some of my resources and I call them a gift to God, my parents can't have it. So they say, well, this is God's money, Mom and Dad. You can't have any of it. And Jesus said, that is absolutely wicked. You are to take care of those who took care of you. Requite your parents. He says, actually, here in verse number 4, this is the first way to show piety at home. Care for your folks. As they age, care for your folks. It doesn't matter how many Bible studies you go to, how many awesome things you're doing. Young people, if you're not taking care of your parents, you're missing the first step of godliness in the home. Take care of your parents. Repay your parents. Number 2 is in verse 8. Provide for them. Provide their basic needs. Those that are closest to you should be provided for. If any provide not for his own, that's the people in your network, your church, and especially those in your own house, your actual family, you are worse than an unbeliever. Family repays, family provides for, and then lastly, family relieves. Look at verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Take the burden off of your family. I know we've gone through that quite quickly, but I've suggested to you two things that I think demand a little bit deeper study. Dads, Proverbs 6 and 7, purity for your young men particularly. And then if you have a widowed parent, consider verses 4, 8, and 16, your primary responsibility. What is the church to do? The church is to support the family as they care for their widowed parent, to love them, to maybe step in and also give, but to cheer that on in a adult child, to cheer that on, and then intervene when necessary. So here we go, five things. Be respectful with older men. By the way, can we just make this really practical and just think for just a second? Think about your response to older men. Are you respectful? By the way, guys, I struggle with this because I'm thinking on the fly. But even on Wednesday night, I try most of the time to refer to our older men as Mr. So-and-so in public. I think it's right. They might feel like it makes them seem older than they actually are. But it's just an opportunity to show respect for an older man, honor. Find a way to respect an older man in the church this week. To be humble with younger men. You know what some of us need to do? I told some people that as Mari was going through her cancer treatments, there were more guys my age in the church that hugged me and said, hey, I love you, than ever in my life. And I got to tell you, we probably should just be doing that all the time. Don't be weird about it, okay? But I do think that we should be showing brotherly love with one another. Sometimes we just try to play it too cool. Hey, we're all the children of God, sinners before the cross. You don't have to play it cool. Love each other. Brotherly love in a humble way. Gentle with older women. You know what? We need a few more open doors. We need a few more umbrellas outside. We need a few more respectful hugs of our older women. Encourage them and love them. Purity with our younger women and generosity with our widows. What order? What's the priority, do you say? Okay, first of all, if there's a widow in your family, that's the priority. Second, if there's a widow in your network, somebody you know, that's a priority. Thirdly, if it's not somebody in your family, it's not somebody you know, but the church can help them, we should support the church and help them. Be generous with faithful Christian widows. Lord, we love you. We love your word. We love the fact that it is so practical. and right on the nose for what we need. You know what we need this morning. You know what I needed this morning. And so, Lord, we just trust you and the Holy Spirit to do what you want with your truth today. With the busyness of our next half hour, we ask that you would help us not to forget what we've learned. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Earthly joy, Jesus is mine, stronger than fleeting hopes, Jesus is mine. Dark is the wilderness, earth has no resting place, Jesus alone can bless. Jesus is mine.
In days of fragile peace, Jesus is mine. Through tearful nights of grief, Jesus is mine. His voice commands the storm, His presence stills my soul, He will sustain my hope, Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine, Jesus is mine, when all else fails, He still
for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ?
If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.